because false prophets are known by their fruit. Children of God are known by their fruits. And then, so these gifts that we're talking about today out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, are nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, understand this. When people say, well, the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, why would anybody give instruction to people that were never going to have it? Did a light bulb go off in your head? Yeah, that's like saying, giving a Ford manual to what they would call a caveman and let him work on Fred Flintstone's car with a Ford manual. What would be the sense of that? You couldn't give somebody, well, here, I know that you're never going to need this, but here, you can have it anyway.
Yeah.
Why would I? What is wrong with it? And to say that the gifts of the Spirit are not needed today is simply a falsehood. Miracles are needed for today as much as they have ever been needed.
Yeah.
Well, the church is already established and already formed, right? But it also needs to be added to, and it also needs to be continually formed, and it also needs to be eternally established in the lives of people. And people do believe by what they see or by what they don't see.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't see miracles, they automatically don't believe that there is a God. But one miracle can transform people's lives. John, the 6th chapter, verse 2, said that when they saw the miracles, they believed. And so we live in a very spiritual, sensitive world.
Yeah.
Now, people would say, oh, no, they're spiritually dull. They may be dull to God, but they're not dull to spiritual things.
No.
Jesus said in the last day, there would begin to say, there's a Christ, there's a Christ. In other words, there is this great birthing of spiritual hunger.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that establishes this gospel above any other gospel is signs and wonders.
Yeah.
And we find that in 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, our faith is not just supposed to be in the written word. Now, that is where our faith comes from. This is where our faith operates. But our faith is also to be directed to the power, the demonstration, the release of, the use of the power of God.
Yeah.
If we don't believe that God has power, then we're always going to be defeated.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because we believe in the power of God, because we have faith in God, not in man, that God has the power to do something, all things are possible to us because we believe.
Yeah. And it's what separates the gospel, like you said, from every other world religion. No one's healed in the name of Muhammad.
That's right.
No one's... Buddha doesn't raise the dead, and blind eyes aren't opened by any of the gods in Hinduism.
You're right. Absolutely.
It's only the gospel.
Jesus said this, if you don't believe that I come from the Father,
believe
me for the work's sake.
Yeah.
So how can we say that we are the voice of God, we are the ambassadors of Christ, and we're preaching a word, and they say, well, you know, many men preach word.
Yeah.
Many men say this. Mars Hill.
Yeah.
And we are living in a Mars Hill society.
No, you're
and
right.
The only thing that's going to turn that Mars Hill devotion is going to have to be signs and wonders.
Yeah.
And Elijah faced it with Israel.
Yeah,
and the only thing that turned Israel's heart from idolatry was the power of God
Absolutely.
Falling and consuming sacrifice.
Absolutely. Just like on Mars Hill, Paul, you know, what messed them all up and got them all riled up was when he said God raised this man, Jesus, from the dead.
And that yes.
Showed the power of God.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And if the Bible says it. Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But what if somebody withstands you and says, well, you know, I don't believe the Bible. I believe the Quran.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to convince them? Well, I'm just going to argument. Yeah. Well, argumentativeness is not the gospel.
Nope.
And yes, we use the word to convince the gainsayers, but signs and wonders also convince the gainsayers.
Yeah.
So we have been talking about these nine gifts of the Spirit. We're going to read them in just a moment as soon as we come back. But before we do, I want to show you a couple of miracles. There are three of them that come from Narok, Kenya. So we're going to go in there. We just returned there. Tens of thousands of people were saved, tens of thousands in attendance. So please give heed to and watch these miracles, because miracles are for today. This young child right here, he was born deaf. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, God has opened up his deaf ears. And now he can hear. Come on, shout hallelujah. Speak in his ear. Amen. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah. Speak into that ear. Speak into this ear. Come right around there. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Listen, this woman
who your mama
has had a cancerous tumor on her breast. It's been there for years. They have not been able to help her. But tonight, after the name of Jesus, the tumor has left and all the pain is gone. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah! 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 This woman had a tumor in her stomach. But tonight when we pray, the name of Jesus, that tumor has disappeared. It is gone. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. All righty. There you see that miracles are still for today. And that was just done a week or so ago. So it must be for today.
Yeah.
And or maybe God just did a fluke in the name of Jesus. But I don't think so. Now, the word and these nine gifts of the Spirit should not separate us in the body of Christ. But when you take out one, two, or three whole chapters of the Bible and say that they're useless, when you take out the book of Acts, well, those were the 12 apostles. Oh, no, they were the 120 disciples.
Yeah.
That's what they were. It was 120 of them, never 12, and never just the 11. So you can't say that. Paul then comes along and gets 12 disciples of Ephesus filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, now you got, with Paul, you got 121, and then another 12, you got 133.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? And then here, Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues as I would speak in tongues.
Yeah.
And so he is introducing them to the gifts of the Spirit. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to move in these things, live in them. I want you to manifest them in your life.
And he says, forbid not to speak in tongues. And today we have many people forbidding people to speak in tongues.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Forbidding people to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in Mark the 16th chapter, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yeah.
My name, they shall cast out devils. They if they drink anything and not hurt them. But they shall speak with new tongues.
Absolutely.
1 Thessalonians 5 says that we are not to despise prophecies.
Yeah.
So we know that prophecy is going to come forth. So we don't want to resist God. And I know that there are people that have even written Bibles, and they're all opposed to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And you know, you should not be a divider of the kingdom, and you should be a preacher of the truth, but you can't take away two or three chapters of the Bible and then tell us to believe what you're going to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if somebody took away the redemption story of Christ in two or three chapters?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be up in arms. Well, you know what? We're up in arms against you.
Yeah.
And you're just bringing in false teachings that divide the church. And you should not be doing it. All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And Rob, would you read verse 7 down through 10?
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues.
So here we see that the first gift of the Spirit is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is simply the ability to use knowledge and to bring about a successful end. We have lots of people that are filled with education and knowledge, but they accomplish nothing successfully.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have ran into people that are graduates and were the, what do they call the person that graduates from a class? They're a top person.
Yeah.
And but they were a failure at the career they went into.
Yeah.
And so they had to shut their career down and go and be a part of something else that was already established because they could not make it.
Yeah.
So we can be talented, just not able to do it. We need wisdom. And there are three types of wisdom we discussed last week. There is the wisdom of man. That comes from education. That comes from experience. True science.
Yeah.
False science is a science that denies the existence of God or contradicts anything that the scriptures say.
Yeah.
But there is the God science that reveals to man discoveries and so forth, his wisdom. And then we know that there is the wisdom of the devil in James, the third chapter, that it comes from beneath, that it is constantly indicative of division and confusion, so that the evil one can have his desire, his fulfillment of every evil work.
Yeah.
And then there is the wisdom of God that trumps every kind of wisdom. So we're kind of going to pick up where we left off last week, talking about the wisdom of the world and how it can be used, not to be shunned, but anytime there is a word of God or the word of wisdom that comes to us, then we have to forsake our wisdom and cleave to the wisdom of God.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But not all wisdom is bad.
No.
If we go to Exodus, the 18th chapter, there is Jethro, which is Moses' father-in-law. And Moses gives place to his father-in-law's voice. Now, Jethro was an idol worshiper.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a high priest in an idol worship community. And he comes to Moses. And let's read down, let's start at verse 13, Rob, and read down through 20.
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people came unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they came unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do not make them know, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and the people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring to the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do.
So here we see that Jethro has wisdom from experience.
Yeah.
Now, he might have wore himself out before. He probably saw men in his idol-worshipping community wear themselves out trying to be what the people needed them to be.
Yeah.
But we have to realize that there is a wise way to rule, and there is an unwise way. Here we have a man greatly anointed of God, Moses, the forerunner of Christ,
who hears from God,
symbol of Christ. Yeah. And so he comes, and his father-in-law tells him, you know what, this isn't a good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what he sees is that Moses is really killing himself, stripping himself of the days of life. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, it also tells us that God told Moses, what Jethro has said to you is good.
Yeah.
Give heed.
Yeah.
Now, you get me men, and I will anoint them, and they will be able to judge these things.
That's
now,
good.
That is the wise way to rule.
Yeah.
The church today many times wants it to be a one-man band.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I need to talk to the pastor. I need to know. What we need to do is allow the structure of a church or of a ministry to take place, because we hope that it's been set up with wisdom and discretion. So here we see that it is the wisdom of man, and we can use the wisdom of men. But if at any time, if God would intervene with a word of wisdom, then it trumps the wisdom of man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talk about that, and then let's go to Job 32:7.
I was just thinking of Job.
Job 32:7.
Yes.
You know, Jesus grew in wisdom and in grace. And you do grow in wisdom. You grow in God wisdom. You grow in man's wisdom. You grow in wisdom because of the skill that you're in or the things that you're learning.
Yeah.
So in Job 32 and verse 7, will you read that, Rob?
I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom.
There it goes. Mm. And if you go on down to verse 8, Rob. Yeah.
But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding.
And grant men, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Mm. So we see in here that men can be wise out of their time because of their life.
Yeah.
Gray hair is a symbol of wisdom.
Yeah.
Now, that ought to tell you, young kids, pay attention to people that have gray hair. They're smarter than you. And then it tells us, but there is the Spirit of Almighty that gives man the understanding. In other words, God imparts wisdom into men that do not comprehend what is going on.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we hear, we use the wisdom we have where we're at, but we also hear what God is saying to us.
Well, like Job's friends, when you read what they're giving him, it sounds like sound wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
There's some parts you're like, well, that's right on. That's good. And then God says they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right. He said, where were they when I did this? Where were they? Don't listen to those guys. And so it is absolutely true that that happened. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 1:24. This is talking about the wisdom that is in the Scriptures, certainly. But in that wisdom, it reveals to us that we are to be wise. And remember, the first place that we should seek wisdom is the Scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paul told Timothy, look, that the scriptures have made thee wise unto salvation. So don't start seeking a voice. Don't start seeking something that's already been given to you. Because what you do, you're liable to get a hold of something you don't want a hold of.
Yeah,
and if you open your door to something that God has already given to you and you're still searching for it, you're liable to find something that the enemy wants you to find.
Yeah, he'll come in and bring confusion.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Can you read 1 Corinthians 1:24?
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
There we see that the gospel is filled with power and it's filled with wisdom. So here, again, we have this wisdom. Now, Jethro had earthly wisdom, but if the scripture tells us to do something, it's more than just choosing what you're going to do. When you find it in the scripture, all choices are gone. This is what you do. Jesus said, the wise man did what I told him to do and his house stood. So we want to make sure that we use the wisdom.
Well, like the next verse, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that we always look here first. And then as we seek God for the wisdom, the Bible says in James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives liberally. And he doesn't upbraid, doesn't hold it back. He gives it liberally. So there is a word of wisdom that will show us how to deposit faith and to extract faith. I use this and I pray this before services and before crusades. God, give me the wisdom to infuse faith into people. Explain it to them. Let the word come forth. And then, God, give me a word of wisdom of how, when to extract that faith so a miracle can happen. And so let's look at John 9. And I'm going to have you read, Rob, from 1 to 7. 1 to 7.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he saith unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors,
let's stop right there. Now, Jesus prayed for other people. He healed blind Bartimaeus in the sense that blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus said, what would you have me do? And he said, that I might see. He said, according to thy faith, so be it unto you. So here we see Jesus does something unusual. He spits on the ground. He makes mud, sticks it in a blind man's eye, and then says, now you go wash in the pool of Shalom.
Siloam.
Which is being sent. Now, why did Jesus do that?
It's, you know, I, it's like, is he, because he's showing that he's the creator, he's the one who fashioned and formed man out of the dust, and that he has the recreative power to, you know, miracle-working power. That's my first thought. So
And all that is true, because it does remember that miracles establish Jesus is Lord. And so that would mean Israel, the Lord thy God, is one God. So it would mean that he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, which would connect with everything
faith.
He said.
But
Jesus is doing this. Remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember, Jesus came as a light to those that sat in darkness. Remember that Jesus came and walked as a mere man. And so he had to walk by faith. He really showed what righteousness could do in a man. And faith in righteousness could do through a man. Now, Jesus comes, why does he make mud? My thought is this, that God is doing something to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's saying, do this.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is now using his faith.
That makes sense.
God has just now given Jesus a word of knowledge, put your faith in this mud.
Yeah.
Now, in the blind man's eyes, Jesus is putting faith in him.
Yeah.
And then when he sends him to the pool, he's allowing faith to be extracted.
Yeah.
Now, why would Jesus do that? Because God knows the thoughts and the intents of every man's heart. In other words, he knows the heart of this blind man.
Yeah.
And he knows what it's going to take to get him a miracle. So God, before they're ever expressed. So you know what? God knows this guy is thinking.
Yeah.
And this is what he needs to go with his thinking.
Wow.
So that faith may be that came and dipped himself seven times in the river.
Yeah.
Why did Elisha tell him to do that?
And he didn't want to because
no.
We got better waters where I'm from.
Oh, absolutely. Why don't I go do it? But his servant says, what if he'd asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? He said, yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you just obey the prophet of God? So why was God doing that? That's what Naaman, in his mind, needed.
Yeah.
He needed to do something extraordinary because going out and killing 60 men would have been extraordinary.
Yeah.
But dipping in this dirty water would have been totally abnormal. I am. Hands of God that knows me better than myself. Mm. I put myself in the hands of God. On Jericho seven times. Well, I understand that, but it's a word of wisdom to Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, get your own word of wisdom. Now, if God tells you to do it seven times, then go ahead and do it seven times.
Yeah.
But take it from a scripture.
Yeah.
God gave them a word of wisdom.
Yeah. So and his obedience to the word activated a faith, which released a miracle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is realized that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
So the mind and the spirit must be in unison, in agreement for faith to flow.
Yeah.
And so when we have our minds transformed, then what happens is our spirit is able to rule through the renewed mind.
Yeah.
Put off the old man, put on the new man, be renewed in your mind.
Yeah.
So when our minds get renewed or when we start thinking, hey, that's the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Or, wow, that guy put mud in my eyes. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I think that was God.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't know how many people told him, you ought to try this, you ought to try that, you know, put a pulse on postured up on your eye, you know, stick your head in a pool of Bethesda seven times, whatever. But God, see, knows the makeup of a human being. And he knows the thoughts and intents of his heart. He knows how much his mind has been renewed. He knows how much it hasn't been renewed.
Yeah.
So God will find this crack in there.
Yeah.
And God will say, do this. Now, I'm telling you, when this guy right here, that happened to him, faith went up. He may have read or heard about Naaman.
Yeah.
In the reading of the law, he might have said, oh, wow, if I was told to do that, I'd do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't know, but we do know God knew him.
Yeah.
And so God says, this is the way you get faith in this man's heart.
Yeah.
You would say, oh, well, yeah, we understand, but no, this man could have been healed. Mm. anytime he wanted, according to Luke, the 13th chapter, said, come any 6 days of the week and be healed.
Yeah.
Listen, this blind man didn't have to be blind. His mother and father could have took him to the temple.
Yeah.
And he could have been healed. But since his faith was not there,
yeah,
and could not believe that God would heal him in the synagogue, God meets him right where he's at.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than
yes.
men.
Yes. Yeah. Now,
so he overcame
Jesus,
his wisdom.
Yeah, Jesus leaves that guy with mud in his eye. Well, the guy doesn't say, hey, do I go down here and take a right or left? He doesn't even know where right and left is.
Yeah.
So he's probably doing this along the walls. And he doesn't know how many doorways, how many merchants are up there before he turns to the right or the left.
Yeah.
But he works his way. And each way that he's doing that, that is an exercise of faith as much as washing his eyes in that pool.
That's good.
That is a word of wisdom.
That's powerful.
So, and if it hadn't required that, Jesus would have said, well, you know, let your eyes be open.
Yeah, because Bartimaeus, be it according to your faith. So
absolutely.
You had the faith to receive right then.
But what if you didn't have faith to receive and you had to have faith instilled?
Instilled, yeah. Created, enacted. Yeah, that's good.
So a word of wisdom will do that to our lives. So we have to understand that wisdom will direct us how to release our faith and so forth. Let's go to 2 Kings 2:19 through 22. And as we start looking at these stories, we start seeing the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost at work in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. That's 2 Kings 2:19. I know I got Kings in here. I seen it one time. Here it is.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning, actually. So
2 Kings 2, verse 19 through 22, Rob.
2. All right, 19 through 22. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the springs of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. That's good.
How does a cruse of salt heal waters that is so defiled, so vile, so dirty that it can't even bring life to the land? Now, listen, I'm telling you, I mean, most time we pour water on plants, it starts a mud puddle at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So this water is filthy, man. There's something, it's no good. You can't drink it.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen in Survivor where they, you know, I watch that national TV, whatever one it is. But they are out there, and they get this stinking water, and bugs are in it, and they boil it when they drink it. Well, it don't taste good, but it's purified. Well, they couldn't do that.
No.
They're saying, hey, buddy, man, you know, we got a great city, we got great land, but we're going to have to leave it. We're going to die.
Yeah.
So where does Elisha get the idea to throw salt in there? He's not a chemist.
No.
And people say, oh, well, it was a chemistry.
Well,
that water may have a chemical effect on what is already there, but not what's coming in. So this is a word of wisdom. Now, it doesn't make sense to man, but God knows chemistry, and he knows real science.
Exactly.
And so what God does is, you know what? This is going to deal with something that's in there, something that's in the ground, something that is releasing these poisonous toxins, whatever it is. And God just says, look, do it with salt.
Throw it in.
Pour salt. Now, look, you can't drink salt water.
No.
It will kill you.
Yeah, it will.
So you'd have to boil the water. It'd have to go up on a piece of plastic, a banana leaf or something, go down here and fill your glass.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff, well, it's going to take a long time for people to get a drink.
Yeah.
And to forget about the cows and the goats, they're going to die.
Yeah.
But God gives him a word of wisdom. This is not just, you know, a prophet doing something. This is the word of wisdom. And it is the word of wisdom by what he says.
Yeah.
By what he says. Because the Bible says that we speak, not 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through verse 13. Verse 13 says, we speak words not taught in man's wisdom, but by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, he says here that thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. I have healed these waters.
Yeah.
So that is a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
He's decreeing something.
Yeah.
And the word of wisdom has to do with how we construct our confession.
Yeah.
The words that we say. We say things that are taught by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so that is a word of wisdom there. And let's go to 2 Kings 5, 8 through 14. 2 Kings 5, 8 down through 16.
16. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan seven times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Phapar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself seven times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all of his company, and came, and he stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.
But, we see right there that the word of wisdom can turn away rage. We see that the word of wisdom really became the foundation of a war being quenched. And he gave him a word of wisdom beyond the wisdom of man. Doesn't seem like it's a smart thing to do, but it is the thing to do. And he dipped himself seven times, and he's totally healed.
Now, what about the wisdom of the servants?
Well, remember
that
these servants could have been, the woman that was a servant in his house was a Jewish slave. So these servants could have very well been the rest of them Jews.
Yeah, that's true.
So this man may have been, had his roots in a Jew. He may have married within the ranks of those that have been enslaved. In other words, he could have been Naaman's servant for wages, but then when slaves came in, he could have married a Jewish woman. So what happens is that that faith is infused into those. Even God, when people became bound, like Babylon. So what happens? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? Converted. Listen, these guys won nations, even though they were bound. And they did it by wisdom. By wisdom. And because they saw them wiser than the other people. And so, you know, Joseph, you know, in a jail cell comes out. And by wisdom, this is what God would have you do. Well, 7 years ago, well, what should I do? He said, this is what you should do. He said, who else could have the Spirit of God like him? That was a word of wisdom that saved a nation. For Israel to be engrafted in so that they could rise up for a great time of prosperity. But then a Pharaoh rose up who did not know the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And so someplace his father did not teach him about that. Maybe he tried to shelter him. But after that, he oppresses Israel. But out of the oppression of Israel comes a deliverer. Hmm. So we have to understand that that word of wisdom affects people like that.
Yeah.
And a word of wisdom can transform a nation. It can stop rage.
Yeah.
It can stop division. It can stop contention. And what it does is also it will erase the foundations of war between people.
Yeah.
And
I think of the Rabbi Gamaliel when they were wanting to, you know, eradicate Christianity from Jerusalem. And he says, well, if this is of God, we'll be fighting against God. But if it's not of God, it'll come to naught.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And that was wisdom that prevented
a war.
Yeah.
And it would have been a war Jew against another Jewish community.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's absolutely true. Let's go to 2 Kings 4:1. And I know that, we might be looking, but look, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you are hearing this, believe it or not, there is an infusion. Yeah. And remember that we talked that as you look at all of these, that you can begin to release the word of wisdom. God, I release the word of wisdom that God will help me curtail rage, that God will stop undue or unneeded wars. I loose the word of wisdom, God, that is going to release, Father, your healing power into people's lives. I release the gift of the word of wisdom, God, in order to instill faith in people. I loose the word of wisdom, God, that I'll be able to speak faith into people. I loose the word of wisdom, God, that I'll be able to harvest people's wisdom that they may obtain a miracle. So, and sometimes a word of knowledge will work with a word of wisdom, and all the gifts can work together. So it's important that we look at all the miracles, and we aren't looking at all of them, but every miracle has the gifts of the Spirit
attached
in it.
Yes, yeah.
And so look at them, and then when you see those things, you put them on a list and say, God, I'm releasing the word of wisdom for this. That when I speak, God, if there's confusion, there's contention, there's malice in someone's heart, that God, wisdom that you put in my mouth will silence those things. And we can do that. It's just like a wife being wise enough to speak to her husband when she comes in, when he comes in. You know, if your husband comes in, you start saying, well, I'm glad you're home. Boy, these kids have been a mess. I tell you what, they all need beat. I don't know why, God, I ever gave myself to you to have these kids. I'm about to go crazy. I tell you what, you need to get this place in order. I can't do anything with it. Take out the trash. The bushes are dying. The grass needs mowed. Oh, yeah, that's a real good. Welcome home, honey. I love you. You know, you need to be wise. Wisdom will tell you when to talk and when not to talk.
Yeah.
Told my grandson one time, he was just contradicting his mother and saying, well, but mom, she said, you heard what I said. I told him, I said, son, be quiet. You are missing a great opportunity to miss the hand of correction. Well, you know, nope, he thought he was smarter than that, so he had to learn by experience. When she got done with him, he was wise. He better be quiet. So all you kids and all you parents, look, many times wisdom will tell you to shut up. Just shut up and let it run its course, and then you get a given an opinion. But don't try to get in and try to stop somebody or get somebody to believe one way when they're getting hot about you not believing their way.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. Be quiet. And God will give you a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Okay, Rob, 2 Kings 4:1, and gosh, let's go down to, let's just start reading, see what happens.
All right. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him unto my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. But then she had told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest.
Hallelujah. That is a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that a miracle could be born, that a house full of vessels, not a table full,
a house full.
Now, I'm figuring she put them on the floor
because
she had more floor space than she had table space.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that after she once saw it coming out, she thought, boy, let's keep this baby going. Get everything, guys. Soak your clothes, your underwear, your socks. With oil, we can squeeze it out later.
Don't you think if there was more vessels, it would have kept going?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so here, Elisha, having no resources to help this woman, but he had God.
Yeah.
Now remember, God's nature is that he will meet all of our needs.
Yeah.
And so what does he tell her to do? He tells her, go borrow these vessels.
Yeah.
Now, God does not say, well, you know, he served me, his gift didn't deserve it. No. He says, look, God, you heard this woman.
Yeah.
I owe her husband.
Yeah.
How are you going to extinguish his debt?
Debt. Yeah.
And so, sure enough, he gives her a word of wisdom. Mm. A word of wisdom that loosed.
Yeah.
That loosed the basis of God's abundance.
Yeah, and it was abundance. Yeah.
And it was abundance.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we, as Christians, when we want to see God do this or God do that, we need to get a word of wisdom to direct the activity of our faith.
Yeah.
I always, when I teach on faith, I teach one message, the missing element of successful faith. Mm. That's wisdom.
Wisdom, yeah.
Wisdom. People sometimes think the weirder they get, the more faith they have. No, you just get weirder. You don't get faith by being weird, and faith don't make you weird, but you can be labeled crazy and weird by those that see you if you get weird.
Yeah.
So, look, faith is this, but look for the wisdom of faith to be used, faith to be released. And so what does it do? We find a way. How do I release my faith in words?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:13. How do I extract my faith? How do I set my faith in motion? How do I release, God, your abundance? How do I unstop it, as it were?
Yeah.
And all it does is take one word of wisdom.
Yeah, that's it.
But we have to be wise. So we can't just walk through life saying, well, you know, here it says, say this and that. Well, I understand that. But you need to get God's direction on what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
And so that God formulates your word. Mm. Well, I know this. I understand you're the next thing to God.
Yeah.
But I'm just encouraging you to go one level up and ask God. We all, you know, I know we don't recognize your deity, but please, just ask God.
Yeah, ask God.
You are not smarter than God. And you can't just mimic what somebody else is saying and get something. Go to the horse's mouth. Listen to what he's saying and say what God says to you.
Yeah.
You know, so many times people want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like nobody.
Yeah.
I want to be like me. Now,
who God created.
I know that I'm different and I'm weird, and, you know, I'm like, I throw faith people in a tizzy because I pray two times or three times. But you know what? Ask the blind man that sees. Did it work? Yeah. Well, you prayed for me and I got nothing. He prayed for me and I got sight.
Yeah.
See, we don't always know. Sometimes I'll pray for somebody, Rob, and I'll, well, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Now, really, in the eyes of the people, they didn't get it. But in my eyes, they got it.
They got it, yeah.
But the wisdom of God will tell me, pray for them again.
Yeah.
This is why I want you to say it.
Yeah.
So then I'll say that. And he might say, pray for them again. Because God knows the man, just like he knew the blind man.
Yeah.
So God's saying, they will have faith when they see you not giving up.
That's right. That's good.
But now you can just do typical failure. Or, like Jesus asked the man, what do you see?
Yeah, he prayed twice.
Well, I see men like trees. Yeah. Well, some are like trees. Do you see any fat like cows? No, well, you're blind then. Yeah. And so, you know what? He prayed for him again.
Yeah.
Now, that was a word of wisdom. Now, you know what? That man was expecting.
Yeah.
His faith was waiting on somebody to do the second mile.
Yeah.
See, that is the word of wisdom. And you say, well, you pray for people more than once many times. Yes, I do. But I tell you what, when the gifts of the Spirit are moving, I'm not my own.
Yeah.
And so my mind has to go the way that God goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Sunday night, that woman that had that brain tumor.
Yeah.
And so if I would have just prayed for the brain tumor and she'd have went back to her seat, I don't know, but I'll tell you what blew her faith right out of the water. Yeah. When I said, if I pray for you and the headache goes away.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that. That was
and
good.
She said, oh, man,
Yeah.
She was thinking, I got this all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that was the word of wisdom that released her miracle and her faith shot up.
Yeah. When that headache disappeared, she was
She was
moved. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So see, it was that one sign that when she saw that, boom, she believed. She believed. So we have to be sensitive to these things. And so that was the word of knowledge, and this woman's debt got canceled. And I believe God's got a plan for every person's debt to be canceled, and is the word that he will give you. Whether it's save $2 a week, save $6 a week, $10 a week, do this, give there. Look, God has these words of wisdom for us, and he'll give it to us if we ask him. And
she had enough left over to live off of.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go to, let me see, let's go to 2 Kings 4:38, and we're going to get ready to wrap this up. 2 Kings 4:38-41, Rob.
And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, and they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal and cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot.
It sounded like us tasting stuff that Phyllis has cooked. There is poison in
the poisonous death in this pot.
We don't know how it got in there, but it's in there. No. When we read this, remember he did salt with the water.
Water, yeah.
His mind may have went back. Oh, God used salt once.
Yeah.
I could use that again.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He waits till he gets a word from God.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I have no idea what kind of poison was in there.
Yeah.
But who would have or came to the conclusion that you could throw cornmeal into porridge? That would thicken it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make like a gravy? Okay, so the ladies here say, yes, it would make like a gravy. And we've tried that before and didn't make anything like gravy. And the poison was still in the pot. It was just thick poison. Anyway, so he throws this in there.
Yeah.
Just a meal. Just throws a meal into a poison pot.
Yeah.
And they eat it. They take it out. I bet the first guy said, he's standing beside dead guys, and he's got to drink it.
Yeah.
So he eats the porridge. Nobody dies. There's no more poison in the porridge.
Yeah.
That was a word of knowledge. It had to be a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And because it wasn't just an act of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, this had to be a word of knowledge. This is what will take care of it.
Yeah.
So that's the word of knowledge can extract the bite of a serpent out of a battle. It can take away the poison that the enemy is putting in between people. That we talked about, where wars can get started and things of that nature. But it can take all of that kind of stuff out.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the word of knowledge can open the door for healing, miracles, abundance, and so forth.
Amen.
And it's more than the voice or the act of faith.
Yeah.
Let's go one more, and then we're going to wrap this up, Rob. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and verse 17. 1 Kings 18, 17. We also understand that, there were many things like when Elijah and Elisha raised the dead.
Yeah.
It took a word of wisdom of how to do that.
How to do it, yeah.
And to extract that and to bring blessing to it. Let's go to 18 and verse 17, Rob.
And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?
Keep reading.
And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or is he on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, Lord, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.
There you go.
Amen.
Now, when we look at this, why the first time, the second time, the third time? Well, he got a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
And what he was doing was not just getting fire to fall.
No.
He was taking them into a realm that was destroying rational thinking.
Yeah.
He was eroding their unbelief.
Yeah.
They look, if he would have just brought fire, they could have said, well, you know.
Yeah.
But not 12 barrels of water saturating the wood, being in a ditch around it, it's still running off.
Yeah.
What he was doing by word of wisdom,
he
was eroding every barrel. He was eroding. And guess what?
Yeah.
He was also getting them involved in acts of faith.
Now they're participating.
Now they're participating. And he said, let them know, God, that their hearts are being turned back towards you.
Yeah.
So now they get involved.
Yeah.
Now they're pouring it. Guess who they're wishing is going to win? Elijah. In other words, he is drawing them by a word of wisdom. He's drawing their faith into the act that is about to take place.
Yeah, that is good.
And when we operate in wisdom in our houses, God will give us wisdom. The Bible says when you're delivered up, don't take thought what you're going to say. It will be the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. So when we speak wisdom, we can incorporate. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like when you tell a kid, well, you're going to do that, and the kids start screaming, fighting, and fussing. The wise way to do is say, hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, let you and I go get that done.
Yeah.
Well, when you get there, just don't do as much as you he thinks you're going to do, and let him do it.
Yeah.
But what would be the worst case scenario is that he saw you involved, and you know what? He would have faith in your care and your love that, you know what, Dad is not just trying to dominate me.
Yeah.
You know what? He's trying to teach me something.
Yeah.
And you get to talk to him, commune with him, and have a relationship. What's so bad about that?
Yeah, exactly.
But a word of wisdom
could
turn that around.
That's good.
So we can use the word of wisdom just like Elijah used it to incorporate people's faith and obedience unto God, position them for blessing. And I'll tell you, in the midst of this, everybody but these 450 prophets were rooting for Elijah.
Absolutely. And what they say, you know, he was creating an expectation in them. And,
absolutely.
And that's a breeding ground for the miraculous. So,
right.
So as they're expecting.
All of that word of wisdom is doing that.
Absolutely.
So what he's doing is he's dealing with the unbelief because he knows if I get all that stuff that's been put on them, put in their mind, out of the way, faith is going to rise up. Let them know, God, that you've called their hearts back to them.
Yeah.
And bang, the fire falls, licks up all the fire, and the sacrifice, and so forth. So the whole thing of the matter was a word of wisdom. Now, he could have just called fire down, but that's not what he did. He said, you know what? I got a word of wisdom. I'm going to erode this unbelief out of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to erode all rationale and reason out of them. And you know what?
Mm.
When this fire falls, there'll be nobody to be able to say, boy, that was a natural mistake.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fire came up from right where he, you know, built the altar. Or, well, you know, lightning fell. No, no. None of that.
Yeah, it was eradicated.
This was going to be God.
That's amazing. You know, I see, I notice a theme through all of the passages that we've gone through today, and that's this word of wisdom establishes the preeminence of God and the lordship of Jesus.
Absolutely. And our willingness to say, God, you're wiser than I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've talked about the word of wisdom. Now, so as you go through these, and there are many more in the scripture, so please go through all the miracles and begin to release them. God, I loose the word of wisdom that, Father, when I speak, that it will erode unbelief, that, God, it'll discredit reason and rhyme and rationale, that, God, it'll cause people to be turned back to the unity, God, not only of faith in you, but unity one to another, that, God, their mindset begins to say, God is smarter. Putting God first is the way to go. God, we loose the word of wisdom that, God, we can turn poisonous, toxic situations around. That, God, you'll give us a word of wisdom to soothe the rage and the anger, God, Amen. Of the disappointed, the struggling, and the discouraged. And begin to do that. Just make yourself a list, because this will be your list. Won't be my list. It'll be your list. And your list, God, will use to produce faith in you, and you start releasing that every day, spending time thanking God, taking 10, 15 minutes every time you come together and say, God, I just want to pray in the Holy Ghost. Anything that is hindering God, me, of operating in the gifts, please, God, get it out of my mind, get it out of my life in Jesus' mighty name. So we loose the word of knowledge. God, we loose the word of wisdom, I'm sorry, upon these people. We loose, God, that the word of wisdom would become active in their life. God, let it be seen. Yes, let it be dominant in their life. God, let them walk in the place of good men. God, lead them by your wisdom right now. Give them words of wisdom, God, for areas that they're struggling or in confrontation with, God. We loose the word of wisdom upon them. We loose it, God, to be active in their life. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.